Our scripture text this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's bow before our God in prayer just before we take a look at this text of Scripture this morning. Let's pray together. Father, my prayer is for myself as we approach this time in your word now, that I would simply preach Christ crucified, and that we together this morning, Father, would know nothing, we would know not anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to have you begin this morning by imagining being in an art gallery that is full of paintings, full of all sorts of different paintings of different subjects, paintings of different portraits, different people, different scenes, all sorts of different paintings. And now imagine, just take it a bit further, and imagine that there's a guide who comes along, who takes you on a tour through the gallery. And in each painting, he stops and he tells you the story behind that picture. And to take it a bit further, supposing as he does so, and as he tells you the story behind each picture, as you go through that tour, you find that the story behind each picture that he tells you is the same story. You would think of that as something very strange, wouldn't you? But in some ways, that is what we have in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have many different accounts, many different types of writing. But we find that in the Old Testament, there is a common thread, a common theme, a theme that runs through the Old Testament, and that theme is Christ. That is the theme. He is the theme. He is the thread running through the Old Testament. Now, of course, we have to be careful here, and I always do strive as best I can to be careful. We have to be careful, for we do not want to overinterpret. We don't want to imagine. We don't want to spiritualize texts and overinterpret texts. But rather, we do still need to understand that there is a common thread, a common theme running through the Old Testament. And that theme is Christ. Even in our text this morning, in Genesis chapter 22 that I read a moment ago, even in that text, a text about the testing of Abraham by God with regards to his faith, his devotion to God, even in that text that is about the testing of Abraham, there is nonetheless a picture there, actually two pictures of Christ, I would suggest to you at least. The first picture is that of Isaac, his son. For within the text, it speaks of Isaac in this way. As God speaks to Abraham, he says the following. He says, "Now that I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me." Likewise, earlier he speaks of Isaac as his only son whom he loves. And we see very much here, I would suggest, a clear picture. A picture of God not withholding his son, Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. His son whom he loved. God gave, Abraham gives his son and does not withhold his son. Surely there's a picture there within Isaac of Christ, of Christ. But that's not the picture I want to take a look at this morning. It's the second picture. We'll save that for another day. But the second picture is quite simply that which comes towards the end of the story. For there is a ram caught in a thicket. A ram caught in a thicket. And I would suggest to you that that ram also serves as a picture of Christ. So let's take a look this morning. Let's take a look on this Good Friday morning at the ram caught in a thicket. As our text begins, as I said, God is testing Abraham. Abraham is given instructions. He tests him, God tests Abraham, by instructing him that he is to take Isaac, once again, his only son, the son whom he loves, the son of promise. He is to take that son and he is to offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham dutifully sets out to obey. He gathers a couple of young men servants, a couple of young servants. He gathers, of course, Isaac, and he heads out and he travels for 3 days. When after those 3 days he is able to see the mountain to which God is leading him, sees the mountain in the distance, he travels on from there with his son only. He leaves the two servants behind. He travels on with the fire, with the wood, with his son to go to make the sacrifice. There's much there already in the text this morning. There's much already that we can and perhaps ought to speak of. But remember, I need you to remember that our task this morning and my purpose this morning is to take a look at the ram caught in a thicket as a picture of Christ. So we continue on. Abraham travels, went further with his son Isaac, travels further. And as they go, we reach the first point really in verse 7. For there Isaac says the following. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac apparently was still unaware of what was going on here. And Isaac looks and he sees the fire that they've taken. He sees the wood that they have, also necessary for a burnt offering. But the most important piece is missing. And he says to his father, "Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that will be sacrificed in this burnt offering?" And Abraham replies. Abraham, his father, replies in verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. God will provide. God will provide, Abraham answers. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham, in fact, says, as it were, to his son here, "You're absolutely right, Isaac. You're absolutely correct. God will provide, but you're absolutely correct, Isaac. For notice, Isaac, that indeed, unless God provides, there is no sacrifice. There is no lamb. There is no other sacrifice. Even so, there is Christ, and there is no other sacrifice. There is Christ, and there is no other sacrifice." Listen to the writer to the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." There is only one offering that deals with sin. Only one offering and no other. And that one offering that deals with sin is not a lamb. Nor is it the sort of sacrifices, the sort of offerings that were made by the priests in the tabernacle, in the temple, daily, yearly. It is not a lamb. It is not the sacrifices, the offerings made by the priests. Nor is that offering, that one offering that deals with sin. Nor is it that ram in our text this morning that is sacrifice that is offered in our text this morning. Rather, the lamb, the sacrifices of the priests, the ram in our text this morning, all of these instead point forward to the one sacrifice that does deal with sin. And that sacrifice is provided by God and must be provided by God. Notice how our text speaks of it. It speaks of it, yes, as provided by God, but more specifically, notice that it says the sacrifice, the offering, will be provided by God for himself. For himself. What does that mean? Well, this offering, this sacrifice, is provided by God. But also we see that this offering, this sacrifice, is made to God. This offering, this sacrifice, is accomplished by God. But also, it is upon this sacrifice, this offering, that God's wrath is poured out upon that offering, that sacrifice. The offering is prepared by, is provided by God. It is provided by God for himself. It is provided by God, but it is God. The offering, the sacrifice, is God. For the offering, the sacrifice, is Christ himself. The offering is provided by God for himself. The story continues, and we must move along. For as we do so, we will see that God does indeed provide in our text this morning. The story continues in verses 9 through 12. "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" The story continues on, and then we reach, that was verse 12, we reach verse 13. And we see here that God truly does provide the offering. For there in verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of his son. Instead of his son. The ram takes Isaac's place. And here we see so clearly the picture of Christ, don't we? The ram takes Isaac's place. Where Isaac should be on the altar, in the place of death, in place of him is the ram. Where Isaac should be is instead the ram. The ram is in his place. Even so, Christ is the offering provided by God instead of us. Instead of us. In my place. In my place. He dies in my place. He is offered up in my place. He dies in my place. He has my sin placed upon him there. And he has God's wrath, which should be poured out against me. Instead, it is poured out against him. He is in my place. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The ram is the sacrifice. The ram is the sacrifice, the offering provided by God. For the ram also is the sacrifice, is the offering that stands in Isaac's place. And Christ is the offering, is the sacrifice that stands in my place. We continue on further, on to verse 14, the next verse. For in the next verse we find the provision of the offering by God memorialized. It is memorialized in two ways. First of all, well, let's read verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." We see here the provision of the sacrifice, the provision of the offering, memorialized in two ways. First of all, in the name that is given to that place. For Abraham calls the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And in that, what we see there is a name of God emerging. A name, a title that is applied to God. For he is the Lord who provides. The Lord who provides. The Lord our provider. He is Yahweh Yireh, is what it says here. Yahweh Yireh. Or as it comes over into our English sometimes, and perhaps not properly, but Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh Yireh. He is Yahweh. For that is his personal name, even as we've touched on a number of times in recent days, that when we see in capital letters in the Old Testament, L-O-R-D, all in capitals, Lord in all capitals, that is actually a designation of the divine personal name of Yahweh. And that is what we see here. He is Yahweh. But he is Yahweh Yireh. Yireh provides, provider, the one who provides. He is Yahweh Yireh. And in the name of God, in that name of God, as Yahweh Yireh, it is memorialized. It stands as a constant reminder that God will provide. That it is God, the Lord, who provides, that it is Yahweh who provides and will provide that sacrifice, that offering for sin. It's memorialized in a name of God, Yahweh Yireh, but it's also memorialized in a particular saying. For it says there once again, as it is said, verse 14, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The provision of the offering for sin is memorialized in God's name, Yahweh Yireh, but it's also memorialized in a saying. It's also, in fact, tied to a place, to this particular place, this mount. For in the mount of the Lord, as the saying goes, it shall be provided. Why this place? What place is this? Why is this the mount of the Lord? For what we are talking about literally in this text that is being referred to is this Mount Moriah where Abraham was called to go to make this sacrifice. Why is this the mount of the Lord? And why is it and how is it beyond this text even that on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided? Why does that continue to be a saying? What is it about this place? Well, this is, as I say, Mount Moriah. But this is not the last time in Scripture that we will read of, that we will hear of this place. For a little ways later, and hundreds of years later, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, King David buys a piece of land. He buys a piece of land for 600 shekels of gold. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, David's son, Solomon, takes that piece of land of his father's, takes that piece of land, and on that piece of land, he builds the temple, Solomon's temple. The place of sacrifice is built there. And what is that place? Well, I think you know what it is, don't you? I think you know what I'm going to say here. That is indeed that place where Solomon's temple is built, that David purchased back there in 1 Chronicles. That place is Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. But please note what I am not saying there and what I am saying. For it is not the temple, even as the place of sacrifice in the Old Testament. It is not the temple that fulfills this saying, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. For the temple and the sacrifices that are made there, even as the ram earlier on, that these things once again are not the fulfillment, but rather they continue, as we've said before, continue to point forward. And if we move forward another 1,000 years past Solomon, we find that now on that same piece of land, in that same elevated area, in that same vicinity as the temple, just a stone's throw, as it were, away, there is a cross that is mounted on that same piece of land. And on that cross, on that same mount, the mount of the Lord, it is indeed provided. The sacrifice, the offering, is then provided. In conclusion, the Lord has provided. The Lord has provided. Please note the change there in tense. Please note the change in perspective there. For from the perspective of Abraham in our text today, Abraham declares the Lord will provide. For Abraham is looking ahead. Abraham is looking forward. Abraham is looking through the eyes of faith, as it were. And he is saying the Lord will provide. He will one day provide a sacrifice, an offering that will deal with sin once and forever. The Lord will provide. But now fast forward many hundreds of years to New Testament times, the times of Jesus and the times of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29, who says, as he looks at Jesus and points, as it were, at Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist speaks from that perspective there, whereby it is as if he is saying, the Lord is providing. Look, the Lord is providing right here, right now. But now fast forward again another 2,000 years to our time today. and our perspective today. For we do not say with Abraham, the Lord will provide. We do not say with John the Baptist, the Lord is providing. But rather we say from our perspective today, the Lord has provided. He has provided. Now I know I'm smiling because I know that what you're thinking right now is probably something like this. You're probably thinking, well, that's kind of an obvious point, Craig. I get it. Past, present, future sort of thing. I get it. Abraham, John the Baptist, us. Well, yes, it is an obvious point, I suppose, and perhaps many of the things I say are obvious, but nevertheless, it's important. It's terribly important, for God has provided. It is done. It is complete. It is finished, as Jesus says on the cross. It is finished, and there is nothing that needs to be added to it. Remember again the words of the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, and then verse 14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And then verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One sacrifice, and God has provided it. It has been provided. It is done. It is complete. It is finished. And there is nothing that you can add to it. You cannot add anything to it. You don't need to add anything to it. You dare not try to add anything to it. No works of your own, no sacrifice of your own, no offering of your own. You need not add anything. You dare not try to add anything to it. For God has provided. It is complete. It is finished. It is done. And it is yours. It is yours through faith. Through faith in Christ. Through faith in the one who truly is that ram. That ram of Genesis chapter 22. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided. We thank you that it is finished. We thank you that it is done and complete. We thank you that there is nothing to be added to it. And most of all, Father, we thank you that it is ours by faith. By faith, as we cling to Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.